And here we go again, time for another edition of Sundays with Shep here on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Brian Priest, and every week at this time, we dig through the archives of Hammond's legendary radio raconteur, Gene Shepherd, in search of classic stories from Northwest Indiana and beyond. And this week, it's a story about jewelry, more specifically a couple of rings that Shep has owned throughout his life. Now, if you've seen the movie A Christmas Story, you're probably familiar with Ralphie Parker's purchase of a little orphan Annie Dakota ring. Okay, I don't really know if he had to purchase it, but he had to buy a lot of Ovaltine and drink a lot of Ovaltine in order to come up with the required number of lids to send to the Ovaltine company to get the little orphan Annie Dakota ring. And once he got it, well, it was really kind of disappointing because all of the coded messages ended up being advertisements for Ovaltine. No secret about that. Well, it appears that Ralphie Parker's real-life inspiration, Gene Shepherd, did not learn his lesson from Little Orphan Annie's ruse, and he went out and ordered another ring from another radio kids show personality, and he tells us all about that. But that wasn't the end of Shep's ring problems. In fact, one of his most tragic incidents with rings occurred during his high school years, and we find out all about that in this week's program. So with that, let's go back to March 4th, 1966, as originally aired on WOR AM in New York. Gene Shepherd gets a class ring on Sundays with Shep.
And now, part of our vast public service programming here on this forward-looking, honest, reliable, sober, industrious family station, reverent, brave, and clean, of course, all the way down the line. We also have a very shiny windshield here. We keep the ashes off the floor, and there's no butts on the back seat. As part of our vast public service programming, we bring you a show dedicated entirely and directed to a minority group rarely heard from, the wet blankets, the sore heads. I tell you, it takes one to know one, friends. That's it. Yeah, some people are just born rotten, that's it. Others work at it. Some just fake it all their lives and are basically nice inside. Right, gang? Rasmatazz. Rudy Tunes. Sometimes you feel like you've been hit with a wet sock. Anybody out there got any castoria? We got a couple of engineers here who... castoria. Wow. Holy smokes, the telephone rang. As Mrs. F.A. Farnham in Fort Worth, Texas, was vacuuming the cage of Joey Boy, her canary. She wheeled to pick up the phone. It was ringing behind her. She just wheeled to pick up the phone and woof! Up the vacuum cleaner nozzle went Joey Boy! Well, Mrs. Farnham jerked the bag open, grabbed out her canary, and shook off a little dust. Joey Boy was still unrecognizable. She immediately stuck him under the faucet. Then, to be sure that that Joey didn't catch cold, she put him under the hairdryer. He hasn't been singing since then, Mrs. Farnham said. But, he's at least eating well. The only thing that occurred to me is that poor little old Joe. I refuse to call him Joey, Mrs. Farnham. Poor little old Joe, 20 minutes after this fantastic fiasco, sitting there hanging onto his little perch, his little beak half open, his little eyes staring out into the darkness, trying to figure out what the hell happened. He looks over grimly at his cuttle bone. He looks gully over at his little plastic cup of water. He's just gone through the faucet. Oh. And then the next thing that occurred to me, how like real life Joey's experience was. How like it all is. Joey, you've joined the club. Right through the cleaners you went. After 40 minutes in the dust bag. Doing, 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 clunk, thud. Oh, let me tell you, hold that now. Let me tell you, the birds are beginning to thrun their weight around. They are not fooling around. Members of the Wiesbaden and Mainz Pigeon Breeders Club in Germany released 4,700 birds last Saturday in a demonstration of the homing pigeon's homing ability. 4,700 of them took off in one gigantic flight. Only 50 pigeons returned. They split. That means 4,650 pigeons just flew in the coop. Well, our members are very sick, a spokesman in Germany said. We don't have no idea what could have happened to 4,650 pigeons. They just haven't come home. Yes, and how many of us, as we swirl through this veil of tears, would like to do just what them little pigeons did. Yes, fly the coop while they're demonstrating your homing abilities. Off you go. But no one ever bothered to ask a pigeon where his real or his spiritual home is. Is it? Yes, who knows? Oh, I like real life. 14 high school boys played basketball for 24 hours. Straight, solid, 24 hours without a moment's rest, without a moment's sleep, and then claimed the marathon basketball playing record, only to learn that the already established record was 25 hours. Somebody made a mistake. How like real life. How like it all. And so we salute the Wellsville, New York, I don't know, they're not a basketball team. Anybody that plays 24 hours and is trying for the record ain't a basketball team. They're there with the birds, little Joey, and all the rest of us kids. It's a good lesson. You carry that through life. You're always going to be 1 hour short, or maybe 1 hour too long. It's all timing, friend. Yes, real life. It's like this. Oh, yes, this is... Talk about... Oh, you know, I know that just... Have you ever had something happen totally unexpectedly, like Joey going up the vacuum cleaner flue? Imagine that lady. Well, I've known a couple of brief instances in my life where that unbelievable sinking sensation you can't... It's like the time, you know... How many of you ever had a high school graduation senior ring? Well, you know what a big deal that is. I mean, you know, from the time you're a freshman, and that's a four long year haul, boy, and from the time you're a freshman, you see these big guys walking around with the big ring. You know, that big black ring with the gold and with the numbers all over it and the seals and the scrolls and the candles burning and the lamp of learning. What a ridiculous thing. I think of my high school with a gold lamp of learning going. And, you know, you see these guys and every day in the study hall, I'd see seniors sitting around, you know, and they're twirling their ring. And up to that point, the greatest ring I ever had was the lucky horseshoe nail ring that I got from the Tom X people. Ralston, it was a lucky horseshoe ring. You know, once in a while, don't laugh, I'll tell you. Once in a while, I wish I had that lucky horseshoe ring because they claim they work, you know, friends. They're made out of, you know, the nail that they use to put the shoes on horses. You don't get those shoes at Tom McCann's, you know.
And they don't lace on. They nail them on. Isn't that awful? When I was a kid, I first learned out that they nailed shoes on the horses. I almost passed out, you know. They nail them on. You know, I, of course, for years I had an idea that the horses, no wonder horses run fast, their feet hurt. And I remember Tommy, oh, you know how I found it? Nobody ever talked about putting shoes on horses in the south side of Chicago. You know, a horse was the thing that went up and down on the merry-go-round, you know. Once in a while you'd see a horse in a Buck Jones movie or a Gene Autry movie, but a real horse, you know, walking around a horse you can smell, you know. You know how horses smell. You know how horses smell? Well, a lot of people think they smell good. Well, you know. Listen, I know a lady who's got one of the gamiest dachshunds in Western civilization. She thinks he smells good, too, so it's very high. Oh, you get used to all kinds of things. And as a kid, you know, I'm sitting out there every morning listening to the Ralston Tomics Straight Shooters. And every morning they would come, oh, it's Ralston time, and ta-ta, ra-ta-ta, ra-cha-ra-cha, cha-ra-la-cha-cha, ra-cha-cha, cha-ra-la-cha-cha-ra-cha, oh, ta-ra-la-cha-cha, ra-cha-cha, ra-ta-ta-ra-ta-ra-ta. I will award the brass figgy with bronze oak leaf palm if any of you can give me the lyrics to that unbelievably fantastic, truly American song. Oh, it's Ralston time in Texas, ra-ta-ta-ra-ta-ra-cha. I know the words. Do you? Jimmy, change that tada chada. I'm giving you a little clue, you see, so you know. The old Wrangler tada chada. Tomics tada chada chada. And Tony chada. I can't imagine Tony sitting down to a. Tony was a horse, you know, sitting down to a breakfast of Ralston in his stall there with a little sugar and cream on it, a little fruit. And I'm a kid. Every morning I'm hearing this thing come out. It's great, you know. And one day, of course, they're always giving prizes, as you all know, radio shows, TV shows, everything, are always giving prizes, all kinds of prizes. There was a Tomics Lucky compass, you know, the little compass there in the back. It comes, it's Ralston colored, and you take it out, you tell what direction it is. Then there was a Tomics Lucky, what the heck was that thing? Oh, it was a Tomics Lucky cartridge charm, you know, a charm of a cartridge. That went over good, too. And then one day, on came the old Wrangler. He said, here, hey, fellas. Hey, by George, fellas and gals. Old Tom, you know. All of us down here at the TM Bar Ranch. He was very early. He was, well, yeah, he was like a very watery, juicy person. And he says, kids, all you Ross need is out there. All you Tomics fans, all you Jimmy and Jane fans, we got a real surprise for you now. Now, I suppose all you kids been wondering why Tomics is so lucky. How come he always escapes them confounded rustlers and all them bad guys keep after him? How come, have you ever wondered why how Jimmy and Jane always seem to get out of them tough scrapes they're in? Well, it's because Jimmy and Jane and Tom wear a lucky Indian horseshoe lucky ring. Horseshoe ring, and it comes right out of the same nails that they put the shoes on Tony. Yes, sirree, they make those rings out of the same nails that old Tony wears as he gallops over the range. And so, kids, if you sit down and write your name and address on a box top cover, Ralston, send it off to Tomics, you'll get yourself a Tomics TM bar lucky horseshoe ring. And it'll fit any size finger, kids. And when you hear the sound of Tony going, and when you hear Tommy's go, hey, let's go, Tony, you'll be ready to ride along with him, and you'll be lucky. Well, I was an exceedingly unlucky kid. And I'm sitting out there, and holy smokes, I had never heard of anybody putting shoes on anything with nails. And for about a month or so, every morning when I'm listening to Tony run, you know, you hear Tony come, I tell him his feet are hurting. He's running around with nails sticking in his toes. Oh, gee whiz, wow. You know, very impressionable, Sam. And for days after that, at long distance, I would see a horse go by, you know, an old peddler would have a horse. And I'd look at him, I wonder if he's got pins in his toes there, and he's got nails holding his shoes on the horse walking. I see he can't. His feet aren't hurt, and he's walking along there. And so I sent off finally for my lucky horseshoe ring, and it arrived. And I put my lucky horseshoe ring on. You know, and it was, you could bend it, see, and you could make it fit any finger. And it was a real nail. And it had a TM bar on the top. It says TM. It had the brand. Tom's brand says this brand, you can use it to put your special seal on the letters you send off. It says TM right there. And I put this thing around my finger. Wow. What a great moment. I bent it around and put it on. I got it at 3 p.m. I'm a kid, you know. The mail comes in and I put this thing. Fantastic. I'm running around. I could shine it. I said, look at this, Mom. And I go out in the backyard and I walk right out the backyard, see. And I'm there about 8.5 seconds. And all of a sudden, Grover Dill sees me from the next yard. He said, what do you got? I said, bang! I got smacked in the eye. He knocked me down, took my TM bar horseshoe ring. And then I realized, of course, that luck is in the eye of the beholder. I got up. All right, Grover Dill, I hope it gives you bad luck, man. Grover Dill runs out in the street and gets run over by a Mack truck. Speaking of a disaster, this is WOR. AM and FM, New York. Oh, I suppose we might as well go a little commercial for the 23rd floor. Hit it there.
Miller High Life, the bright, clear taste.
Hi, victims. How are you out there?
Miller High Life, the champagne of bottled beer.
There's only one champagne.
Hey, when you look at a rabbit
beer,
trap, sparkly, do you identify with the
flavorful,
rabbit or the trap?
Distinctive.
Just a question.
Miller High Life.
Philosophical.
Brewed from a century-old recipe, Miller High Life has a rich heritage and tradition.
Let's get that
bright,
Miller High Life.
A bright, clear taste. Unequaled, unquestioned, unchanging. Available on tap, in cans, and in familiar crystal clear bottles. Miller High Life is always sparkling, flavorful, distinctive. Enjoy Miller High Life yourself. Yes, Miller High Life, the champagne of bottled beer.
Miller High Life, we are for you forever and a day. Miller High Life, we go all the way.
Of a commercial. I wonder who that was on the other. Speaking of commercials here, we have Rover 2000, the magnificent English car, friends. Yes, sir, if you're beginning to get that itch, springtime's coming on, you want to get rid of the old crummy, rotten heap you've been driving since 1926, and you've been putting it off year after year, this is the car that you can drive to the year 2006. Magnificent machine. Moves like a shadow, like a ghost over the horizon. There you are in your Rover Mobile with Robin beside you. Oh, excuse me, that's another show. That's the Rover 2000, the great English machine that's made to do it. That's right. And no kidding around, this is not Toysville. And if you would like to see this magnificent car in all of its beautiful four-color glory, send your name and address to us. Rover. R-O-V-E-R-R-R-R. There's three R's. Rover 2000 in care of WOR-AM and FM, New York.
My name?
It's exciting to be in the big time, isn't it? Oh, boy.
Let's just say I'm a highly paid executive of the Luden's Company. I must report to you that our campaign to discourage people from chewing Luden's cough drops is a partial failure. We have tried every way we know to get you chewers to dissolve Luden's cough drops slowly so the medication can trickle down slowly to give you temporary relief from coughs due to colds and minor sore throat. What can we do to make you understand? Should we engineer Luden's cough drops so that they make embarrassing sounds when you chew one like this? Should we publish the names of known chewers? Those of you out there who chew Luden's cough drops, please write us your suggestions. Address your letter to me, Mr. X, the Luden's Never Chew Society, Luden's, Reading, Pennsylvania.
Gee, what a cough drop. The cough drop that talks back. All right, I'm forever blowing bubbles. Well, you see, I had this ring. Now, the rings are very important in people's lives. Oh, yes, the ring is highly symbolic. They have found rings as far back as Oh, it's far back as recorded, unrecorded prehistory goes. They've dug rings up out of tombs of pharaohs. They've dug rings up out of cavemen's hovels. Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, that's a whole big thing, you know, the ring business. And there I am with my lucky TM Bar horseshoe ring. I'll tell you this about those lucky horseshoe rings. A guy called in here a minute ago, and he says he had one of them, too. I'm not inventing it, you know. He had one of them, too, and he says they were unbelievable for tearing your clothes up. He says his clothes were just from his TM Bar horseshoe lucky ring. And it was, you know, it fit any finger. Gargantua, it fit anybody's finger. Gigantic fingers. What's a nail? You know, that nail. And the first thing that got me was when I got that nail, and it was a nail. It didn't come as a ring. See, it was a nail. And you bet it. They had a little instruction that says, bend this with pliers. Will fit any finger. Well, of course, it was another one of those. You know, I've been taken again. I had to eat my way through a big family-sized box of Ralston to get that crummy nail. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, have you ever had jewelry that turns your fingers green? Listen, you know that my finger is permanently a light blue-orange for years, ever since I had this ring. And it went around the finger, see, and for years that was the only ring I ever had. And then somewhere along it disappeared. And now I'm a freshman in high school. You got the picture? I'm a kid, see. And I arrive the minute you make the transition from grade school to high school, you're in another world. This is the big world with big kids are walking around. I mean, really big kids, big letters, you know. They're 6'9". Some of the guys weigh 248 pounds. Hello, test. Wait, hello. That's it. Some of the guys, you know the high school. And boy, the girls you see when you go to high school, they are not like Esther Jane Albury. Whew. Oh, boy, there was a chick in our school. When I was a freshman, little kid, you know, I just out of eighth grade, and I'm walking around, and I'm just sort of like a pimple with feet yet, you know, and I'm a little kid, and I'm walking around, gee, well, 3,000 kids in the high school, and I am running up and down the halls and up and down the stairways, and they're very official, and I buy myself a notebook, and I write my name all over the front of it, you know, little tags, you know, the little stickers you get down at the bookstore with school colors and all kinds of little jazzy things all over it. You get out of that phase pretty quick, but, oh, yeah. Do you know that guys go through that phase at BBDNO? You know, BBDNO has colors and little numbers and letters. They award guys letters. Oh, sure. Oh, do you know that they, now, don't laugh. I'll never forget the time I sat, I couldn't believe my ears. I sat in a meeting. I was brought in under false pretenses. I was a spy. You know, I've been a double agent in many ways. In fact, I feel like I'm a double agent in life. And I'm a kind of a spy, see? And I was brought in by this salesman in this organization. Now, don't tell anybody that I'm telling you this because they wouldn't want it to get out. One night, especially he wouldn't want it to get out, see, because this is an organization that demands absolute fealty. Listen, I'll tell you, if you think swearing the oath to some secret organization where you have passwords and countersigns is binding, this company demands its people to dress. They even give them a dentist to go to. Yes, they do. I'm not kidding you. And the guy, when you go to get a job there, they don't only audition you, they audition your wife, they audition the kids, they take a look at your car to make sure you got the right kind of car, the whole scene, see. And now he's working there. This is my friend, see. And I'm walking around, and says, oh, boy. And he keeps telling me these stories about this fantastic place. He says, you wouldn't believe it. He says, it's like a madhouse. He says, they don't know it's a madhouse. He says, they think it's order. He's just absolutely insane, really nutty. And, of course, he's pretending all the time while he's there that he's digging it. You know, you have to do this. And he's got the right kind of dark suit, white shirts, dark shoes all the time, black socks, the whole business, you know. The whole crew cut, they demand a crew cut, very short haircut and everything. Oh, shave, he says, let me tell you, you have to shave right down to your bones when you work there at this place. And so one night he called me on the phone. He says, hey, listen. He says, look, you got a dark suit? I said, no, not really, but I can get one. He said, listen, get yourself a black suit with a white shirt. And don't wear any smart, you know what, looks on your face. He says, look very solemn. He says, and I can get you in tonight to something you won't believe. I said, yeah, where what? I figured, you know, I'm going to get into something, you know, where the ladies are up on the stage there and, you know, the whole business with the films and everything. He says, Just meet me at 8 o'clock, huh? On the corner of 12th and Vine. And I'll come along with my black car, see? And don't raise your voice, because it's very important, because people in this organization don't make loud noises or anything. Mm-hmm. Wear a black raincoat if you got it. And so, sure enough, there he pulls up here. You know, Mama's little undertaker pulls up at the corner of 12th and Vine, and I get in the car, and I sit there, and he's got nice, straight music on the radio, and he says, we've got to get into the mood, see? We're very square people now. Remember, this so square that we're hip. He says, this is such a square outfit that it's, he says, it's as hip as the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. He says, it's really insane. And so we arrive in front of this hall, and he says, now, you just stand behind me, don't say anything, and just walk in real quick with me. And he says, and wear this pin. And he gives me this pin, and it's just a big round button, and it has a single word on it. And believe me, the word wasn't worry. A single word, see? And I says, oh, boy. Yeah, this is really something. And sure enough, there's a whole line of guys all going in with black suits with the button at the exact same spot on the lapel, the big smile. They all had the same smile. It's not really a passionate smile. You got to be careful, you know, because you can smile too much. If you got a big wide-eyed, you know, wowee grin, look out, you're a dangerous guy. On the other hand, if you have a cynical smile that kind of is a little crooked around the edges, look out, that's trouble too. It takes some guys maybe 4 or 5 years to learn the right smile that doesn't offend, that doesn't make people think you're laughing at what's going on, and yet you look cheerful. You know, just sort of a, it really looks like a bowl of oatmeal in full flight. If you can imagine it, you know, with a little kind of a, you know, the kind of pictures you used to draw when you were kids, stick pictures, a little smile, like that. You walk in, you grin. There's a great expression for that kind of smile. I cannot use it on the air. You got it, friends? Okay. So I'm working, I'm standing there, and we're all walking in. He's getting stepped for crying out loud. Come on, left, right. So we go walking in, left, right. And at the door, here is this big, jovial guy who's a little bit bigger than all the rest, same smile, though. And he says, good to see you, Chaz. Oh, Chucky, good to see you, Chuck. Good to see you, Harold. Good to see you. And he says, he looks at me sort of at a funny moment, but as, see, because the executives in this company pride themselves on this, they've all taken the Dale Carnegie course. They remember the first name of every employee, see. And I look kind of hurt for a second. Then I grin back and I say, Shep. He's good to see you, Shep, old boy. He thought I was one. So we go all again. And we sit down all in long rows. Now, I mean, I'm telling you exactly what I'm watching. We sit down in long rows. And up on the stage, there's a stage, and it's all lit up with green and purple lights. This is like a high school auditorium. We're all sitting there very solemn, and the guys are shifting. Waving it once in a wave, discreetly waving, isn't waving, because you never know who's going to be out, you know, and you don't want to be too friendly with a guy who's liable to get fired, you know, you're liable to go down the drain with him. And on the other hand, you don't want to slight a guy who might be above you the next week. And so everybody's sort of discreetly waving. They're waving at the palm trees, and, you know, the guys are waving at the air conditioning unit. They wave at everything. All right, hello, hello there, hello. And then the lights go down, and a man comes up on the stage. And there's a spotlight, picks him up. He says, all right, good to see all of you fellas here tonight. I see all of you have got your pin on. Very good. I'm glad to see you. This is going to be a big night for us tonight. And I know that we're all going to enjoy it, and it's going to be a memorable event for all of us. And now, before we do anything else, he takes out a pitch pipe, and he goes, whoop. And without a word of warning, they all start singing, oh, I-G-M-I-P-M, we love you today. We will think, we will think all the day. T.J. Watson is our savior. Da-da-cha-da-cha-da-cha. I-B-M will over. Ya-da-da-cha-da-cha-da-cha. Ta-da-da-cha. Well, you know, I felt inspired. It was a fantastic moment. I really did. I felt inspired. I'm standing up there. I can just feel patriotism is a wonderful thing. And I looked around. I could see all these eyes shining and sparkling. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. They're singing the anthem. And then the curtain went up, and on stage are two loudspeakers. And the founder spoke to all of us via tape. What a touching moment. He spoke for 15 minutes in beautiful ringing tones, And then the curtain came down. Have you ever seen the curtain come down on two loudspeakers and a Pentron tape recorder? Just comes right down like that. And the thunderous roar of applause. And once again, we will thank the show all the day. We will not tarry in our appointed rounds. We will upward, upward go. All the world has got all peace, life, liberty, and happiness. Chada, chada, and our wives and kitties too. On the way we are, ta-da. We got up, back in the car, and we drove home. And it was one of the stirring moments, one of the truly stirring moments of my life. Very nice. Very nice. See, well, you know, I'm fooling around with my little lucky horseshoe ring, see, and I'm back in high school. And I'm walking down the halls this day. I'm, maybe about 15 or 14. And I see all these guys with these rings. You know, rings have always been a very mystical thing about rings. Almost every secret society has a ring. Oh, yeah. Of one kind or another. Oh, yeah. Practically everybody's got them. Yeah, the Indian horseshoe rings, they've got them all, you know. Very secret. And the ring meant very special things when you're a senior. You know, the guy's got that big thing. And they had two kinds of rings in our school. They were both gold, see. But one had a garnet as a background, you know, that dark red kind of stone, and the other had an onyx, black, polished, glowing. And on the garnet and on the onyx was the shield of this fantastic institution of learning. This institution of learning that had turned out scholars for generations, fist fighters, pool players, turned out snooker men, turned out tin mill workers, turned out guys that spent their lives working down on the soaking pits in the 40-inch mill as beautiful rings. And so I'm about in my sophomore year, and I'm debating whether I'm going to get the onyx or I'm going to get the red one. And I keep shifting back and forth. First I'd see the onyx. Gee, that looks pretty good. And now I'm in my junior year. And you know that great scene just about the last 2 or 3 weeks before your junior year is over? And that excitement, boy, I'm going to be a senior now. A senior. Then the summer goes by, and you're a senior. George, you're a big-time guy. You're playing tennis. You don't fool around in the backyard anymore with marbles, any of that kind of jazz. And you know, if you play the real stuff, you're tennis, and you're dating girls, and you're driving around in your Ford and all that stuff. And then the fall comes. Brilliant, sparkling, the sun hanging over there. And I walk into high school. I am a senior. Well, we're in school about 2 or 3 weeks when that big day comes. They announce that all seniors will now order their high school senior ring. Oh, boy, hot diggity dog, wowie. Well, we go down, you know, they measure you, they give you little pieces of paper to measure your size of ring, and there's this guy down in the office that takes the orders from the Senior Ring Corporation, the Senior Ring Corporation of International Falls, you know, the very official people. And so I go down to the office, and I've decided I'm going to get the onyx. Chaste, simple, beautiful. There's kind of a dignity about that, you know, the onyx. And so I go down, I measure my finger. He looks at me. He says, what size? Let's see, the size you want. What do you want? Do you want the red one or the black one? I says, onyx. Oh, the black one, okay. And that will be $11.78, please, including tax. Well, of course, $11.78. This was like four times my life savings. All the way, you know, I'd scrounged and gotten gifts and the whole thing. I laid out $12. He gives me my change, and he gives me that little receipt. And then weeks go by. 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, a month, 2 months. It's now the first of the year. And now we come back after Christmas vacation, and it's just beginning to be springtime. When the announcement was made, you know, in the morning when they have the PA around school, and they say things like, there will be an auditorium session for the first section during the second period. Please file in quietly immediately after the bell. After the auditorium session, file out quietly, and the second section will then file in. Today, the biology club will meet in room 305 immediately following the eighth period. Miss Fife will be there. The Dramatic Club is announcing that it's having tryouts for the spring play, and the senior rings are now available in the office.
Wow. Holy smokes. The senior rings are here now. And this is real jewelry, you know. This is the real thing. This is like Lifetimesville. Whole thing, senior ring, and it's got scrolls, and it's got burning candles on it. It's got the shield, you know, that says in hoc agricola conc, in est spittle lauk, ignoramus, ignoramus, ignorami. It says, right, you know, big, all the Latin jazz. Well, about 45 seconds after the bell rang for lunchtime, every senior within 14 miles is lined up outside of that office. And you can see them coming out. You know, and I'm way at the end of the line. You can see these guys coming out. They got a little box. Oh, wow, you know, guys are looking at them. Guys are putting them, spitting on them and rubbing them on their shirt. And I wait and wait and wait and wait. Gee whiz, wow. And there it is. Now it's my turn. And I say to Miss Matson, Shepherd, J.P., please, here's my receipt. And she searches through the box. Oh, yes, here it is. And she hands it to me. And there it is. There it is. On that little square white box. No markings. All it says is Shepherd J.P. I open it up. And there's that little puff of cotton. And there is my golden senior ring in gleaming, magnificent, beautiful onyx. I might point out, too, these senior rings were extremely significant to these. Because all the time, senior rings were constantly being exchanged between guys. You know, they give it to the chick, that whole scene thing. And they'd hang it around their neck on a chain, that kind of thing, you know. Oh, my senior ring. And I go out into the hall. I'm playing it very cool, you know. Ah, thank you. I go out. I take that thing and I look at it for a minute and then I stick it on my finger. Oh, boy, my senior ring. Whew, I brush it off. Gold, beautiful, heavy, you know. Now I'm really here. This is it. What else can life hold? What else does life hold but this? And I hold it up to the light, and you could see that sun bouncing off that onyx, that beautiful polished black stone. I polish it on the shirt again. I polish it on my sweater. And all day long, you know, that wild feeling of you've got something new, and it kind of slides up and down and off. All day long, I've got this thing, and it's hanging on my finger. And it's a little bit big. You know, gee, it feels great. You're like, wow. And it keeps spinning around, and my finger hurts a little bit from it. It's not used to wearing this thing, but oh, wow, and I keep turning it around. You know how you pick at a tooth when there's a little thing stuck in your tooth? You keep picking at it until finally your tongue is sore, your tooth is sore. Everything is sore but the piece of red cabbage that's stuck in there. You know, and my finger's sore, but boy, oh boy. And so that day after school, me and Schwartz and Flick and Bruner, we've all got our rings and we're all out there hitchhiking, flashing them in the wind. First time, you know, I ever hitchhike left-handed. You know, I'm going like this thing. So it can flash in the sun. We're out there with our rings. Flashing them. We go down to the Red Rooster before we go down to hitchhiking. And we're sitting there. Our hands are all laying out on the counter. You know, that whole thing. Yeah, trying to be casual about it. Oh, gee whiz, wow. And then I'm on my way home, see. I run up the front steps. Into the living room, never realizing I'm about to have one of the true, and I say true traumatic experiences in my life. I really don't think most of the traumatic experiences are sexual, with all due respect to Mr. Freud. I mean, I'm serious. These are the things that scar you for life. See, I come in with my ring, and I hear my mother banging around in the kitchen. My kid brother is yelling and hollering in the kitchen. I say, hey, Ma, hey, Ma, look at this. Whoa. Now I'm a kid again. See, I can stop all this jazz of being a senior. I'll run to the house. Hey, Ma, look at this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Look at my senior ring. Holy smokes. And she looks at, oh, isn't that beautiful? Look at that. It's just lovely. Randy, come over. My kid brother, hey, what went wrong? You know, he's whining. I said, oh, shut up. You'll be a senior some 5,000 years from now. This is only for senior. And then my mother said, I'll get you one, you know, that whole jazz. I said, oh, boy, look at my senior ring. Holy smokes. Wow, wow, wow. And she says, now go next door and show it. Please go next door and show it to Mrs. Beegee. Mrs. Beegee was the nice lady next door, you know, that sent over sponge cake and she'd send over cookies when she'd make them. They're always black on the bottom, you know.
I hate the... with raisins in them. If there's anything I hate, it's black cookies on the bottom with raisins on top, you know? And she'd do this. Mrs. Beege was always over there. And she had this little kid named Melvin who lived with her. Melvin and Mrs. Beege. And they had a dog named Zero. And so, oh, come on. She says, now you go ahead now. Mrs. Beege's very nice to you. Now you go ahead next door and see Mrs. Beege. All right, for crying. Okay, all right. So I go next door and I knock on the door, you know, with my ring. Knack, 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 knack. Who's there? I said, it's me, Gene. Yeah. Oh, come in, Gene. Yeah, so, no, I have no cookies. What have you got? I said, this is my senior ring. Isn't that beautiful? Melvin! Melvin comes running out of the john, you know. Melvin, would you look at Gene's senior ring? Yeah, what with it? You know, the whole jazz all over again. So 10 minutes later, I am out playing ball and yelling and hollering with my senior ring. I always liked the idea of, you know, reaching up for a high fly ball with the ring flashing in the sun, that jazz, you know, seeing myself. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And now it is 5:45. Good, brisk game of catch, little ball, you know, we hit out some fly balls. Now I'm in the house. I go into the bathroom. I can smell the red cabbage, and I could smell the meatloaf. I could smell the ketchup and the mashed potatoes. And the old man is out there in the kitchen sitting there reading the paper, and my kid brother is laying under the sink. He's whimpering, you know, the whole, everything is normal, see. And so I go into the john. Boy, you know, I'm all sweaty and hot. I've been playing ball. I got little stickers under my fingernails and all that stuff. Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Gee, I polish it again. Oh, then there's a couple of beautiful little scratches out of it. Already it was beginning to look like a real ring. See, not like a gimmick, a real ring. And I hold it up to the mirror, and I smile next to it. Then I practice, you know, see. Would you like my ring, Esther Jane? Hey. Well, it's all right. Just take one. Would you like my ring, Esther Jane? Hey, cha-cha-cha. And I turn the water on. And the hot water is coming pouring down in there, and I get the soap, you know. And I stick my hands into the water. I'm going to wash my hands. I said to myself, oh, no, come on. I don't want to get soap all stuck around this ring. So I take my hands out of the water very carefully, and I take the ring off. My hands are wet, friends. My hands got soap all of them, friends. And I go, whoop! The ring goes up in the air. I make a grab for it. It goes, doink, 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 doink. It bounces 3 times on the tile. You know the tile on the bathroom floor? Doinkity, 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 doink, doink. And right into the hot air register. And I can hear it going all the way down the pipes.
My ring. It's gone. Down the hot air register. It's down in the furnace. It's in the furnace. Hey, Dad, holy smokes, help me quick. 10 minutes later, we're down in the furnace, and my old man is shaking the ashes, and he's got the fire pouring out, the clinkers are pouring.
We never found my high school ring.
Never found my high school ring. Now do you wonder why I'm a bitter, rotten curmudgeon? Do you wonder now why I'm a twisted, evil man? Do you wonder now I look out of the darkness at you with bloodshot eyes? Huh? Somewhere, kids are playing. Somewhere, guys are wearing their high school rings. Somewhere, bands are playing. But there was no joy in Hessville that night. Not a bit of it. We'll be at the Limelight tomorrow night at 10:30. And tomorrow night, I'm going to do the denouement, the magnificent story of the Coca-Cola and aspirin orgy. Yes, you can't miss it, old Wrangler fans. You can't miss it, old gang out there. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 10:30, it's time once again for Comics and Tony and the whole gang.
And from March 4th, 1966, as originally aired on WOR AM in New York, Gene Shepherd with the tragic story of his class ring on Sundays with Shep. Well, leading up to that tragic story of human life, Shep had a few others. In fact, the first one that he read involving Mrs. F.A. Farnham of Fort Worth, Texas, was so significant to him that he used it in the introduction to his 1972 book, The Ferrari in the Bedroom. And he introed it like this: the hectic pace of modern life, the age of the emerging machine, the rampant automation of mind-boggling space shots, of brain-numbing traffic jams, not only takes its toll of us, the hapless human beings who created the monster of technology, but also those simple innocents who have the bad luck to inhabit a planet also populated by man. We are in the midst of a giant struggle that goes on day and night all over the world. One day, the battle will be over, the machines will have won, and few will remember the early days when the victims were falling. And then he drops in the story about Mrs. Farnham's canary, and wraps it up by saying, "Ah, how like us all, hunched over, sitting, staring, but eating well. Not much singing, but a lot of staring." The story about the homing pigeons was also true. I was hoping to find a little bit more context to it, but most of the newspapers that carried it around May 25th, 1965, simply had the same three-paragraph UPI story that Shep was reading from. No word on whatever happened to the other 4,650 pigeons. And I could not find any information about that failed Wellsville, New York basketball marathon, where the boys played for 24 hours, thinking they had set a world record, only to later discover that the actual world record was 25 hours. I dug through some of the archives available of the Wellsville newspaper of the time and saw no notice of it there, nor any AP or UPI stories, so it probably was just a local item that wasn't picked up by any national wire services and perhaps is unavailable on the local paper archives that I have access to. So, interesting story nonetheless. Now, leading into the story of the Tom Mix ring, Shep asked a brass figligy question. And that was, is anyone able to recite or sing the words to the Tom Mix theme song? Well, here you go.
Up for me, come on, boy! Shredded roll for your breakfast. Start the day all shine and bright. Gives you lots of cowboy energy with a flavor that's just right. It's delicious and nutritious, bite-sized and ready to eat. Take a tip from Tom, go and tell your mom, Shredded Ralston can't be beat.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters bring you action, mystery, and mile-a-minute thrills in radio's biggest Western detective program. Tonight you're about to hear another episode in a baffling mystery, Secret Mission.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. No wonder Shep was so keen to get that lucky horseshoe ring. Now, the Tom Mix radio program was based on the adventures of the famous movie cowboy Tom Mix. And according to Wikipedia, the radio program ran from 1933 well into the early 1950s, long after the real Tom Mix died in 1940. And it was, as you heard, sponsored by Ralston Purina. Now, according to the article on Wikipedia, Mix never appeared on these broadcasts because his voice was damaged by a bullet to the throat and repeated broken noses, so it really wasn't good for radio. Instead, Tom Mix was played on the radio by a number of actors in the early 1930s, Artells Dixon, then beginning in 1937, Jack Holden, through to the early 1940s with Russell Thorson, and then from 1944 to the termination of the program, Joe Curley Bradley. Recordings of the show itself are scarce. According to online records, only about 30 episodes of the program, which once again ran for more than 10 years, are available, and no complete story arcs survive. However, the show was known for offering premiums to young listeners, like that horseshoe ring that Shep sent away for. And in his book, Radio Rides the Range, a reference guide to Western drama on the air, 1929 through 1967, editors Jack French and David Siegel write specifically about this horseshoe ring. And it says, from the very beginning, radio premiums were a large part of the promotion of the series, usually in exchange for a Ralston cereal box top and a few coins. During the first season of 1933 and 1934, Ralston offered Tom Mix photos, a shoulder patch, a booklet on the life of Tom Mix, and several items of Western clothing and accessories. Ralston did everything possible to tie Hollywood's Tom Mix to their radio show. In one radio premium postcard, Tom and his horse Tony were pictured with the radio cast. Tom Mix was interwoven with nearly every premium, including the Lucky Horseshoe Nail Ring, which was, quote, just like the one Tom wears himself, end of quote. Some of the recipients who ordered this premium may have been surprised, however, when they opened the package, because instead of a ring, the package contained a horseshoe nail with instructions on how to make the ring. And the instructions read as follows. Use a poker or iron bar as an anvil. Place the horseshoe nail on it. Hold the end of the nail with a pair of pliers. Bend it by hammering until it is the exact size for your finger. End of quote. Obviously, youngsters of that era were of sterner stuff than they are today. Now, if you go on eBay and search for some Tom Mix memorabilia, you're going to find a number of rings. There's the Tom Mix magnet ring, the Tom Mix look-around ring, which was actually a hinged mirror that you could open up and see what was behind you. There's a Tom Mix musical ring, which is a ring with an aluminum whistle on it. There's even the very rare Tom Mix telescope ring. Yes, a ring with a small telescope on it. You could put your eye up to it and supposedly see things at a distance. But you won't find many, if any, examples of the Tom Mix horseshoe ring. That's because radio collectible guides say this particular premium is easy to counterfeit because it was basically just a horseshoe nail, and anybody can produce a horseshoe nail. I did find one example of it over on Pinterest, which was recently offered on eBay for about $25, and that was including the certificate of authenticity as well as instructions on how to make the ring, and it also included a copy of the advertisement telling kids how to get the ring. So if you ever do stumble across somebody offering you a Tom Mix Lucky Horseshoe ring, buyer beware, or you could end up as unlucky as Shep. Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Sundays with Shep. As always, we appreciate your feedback. You can drop us an email with your questions, comments, maybe your memories of Shep. The email address is sundayswithshep@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com and search for Sundays with Shep. Give us a like and then you'll get access to show previews, Shep-related trivia, and the chance to interact with other fatheads around the world. And if you'd like to hear this or previous editions of Sundays with Shep one more time, you can find podcasts on our show page. That's at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Just click on the Programs tab at the top of the page and scroll down to Sundays with Shep to catch up on some of the shows you might have missed. Coming up next week, there's history all around. Until that time, I'm Ryan Priest. For everyone here at Lakeshore Public Radio, thanks for spending part of your Sunday with us. Have a great week, and we hope to have you back here next Sunday with Shep.